Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. 403, welcome in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Thursday here in Eastern Iowa, 1600 AM. Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, online at kgymradio.com, where you can vote in today's poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. It has to do with tonight's NBA draft. Programming note, we will be stepping aside after 2 hours tonight. So after the 5 o'clock hour, we'll pick up at 6 o'clock on two of our three frequencies, 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, ESPN's coverage of the NBA draft. 107.5 FM listeners, you'll get Minnesota Twins baseball tonight. Great program in store for everybody today. Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders, often heard here on KGYM, will be with us coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on this evening's NBA draft. Woodja on tap as well as we tackle what could possibly be Major League Baseball's most insane idea yet. And that's moving a franchise between cities. It's been done before in pro sports. We'll get to that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Plus, we have for you two great opportunities to win with us here on KGYM, us being me and Alex, who's here in the studio with me, our producer Kyle Mann on the other side of the glass. Someone's going to win a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road coming up inside the 5 o'clock hour. Normally on Thursdays, every other Thursday that is, we're at Mulligan's for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We'll be back at Mulligan's next Thursday. So if you get this in time, you can come out, come join us, hang out, use that $30 during happy hour. Thursdays like tonight, half price wings from 6 until close. And Alex, before we get to the 5 o'clock hour tonight, we're going to play today's installment of Are You Smarter Than Alexa? As we try
people are going to love this one.
Hook up one of our listeners with an Amazon Echo, which we've been giving away all week long here. As a reminder, you can use your smart speaker like the Amazon Echo to listen to KGYM. You just have to enable the skills. You can tell her that you want to listen to this show's podcast. We have details and directions on how you can do that by going to our website, kgymradio.com. This to me, Alex, is tonight is it. Tonight is it because the NBA draft sort of marks the official end of everything other than Major League Baseball for a while. And I know that gets said often around here. And the good part, the good news is that we're a couple weeks away from starting up our countdown to kickoff and heading to Big Ten Media Day. And Cedar Rapids and Eastern Iowa is a very strong baseball community, so we can talk baseball. But as far as major events go, unless you occasionally have your rogue volleyball coach, which the timing, we could we have not dropped this, say, next Tuesday or next Wednesday? The Bon Szymanski news that came out last night, and Bon Szymanski, by the way, has broken his silence. We'll get to that in a moment. But there's not a whole lot of intrigue tonight. I heard Scott mention with Smokin' Dave Koken that you have to lay $100 to win $1 that Zion Williamson will be the number one pick in the draft. Would you? I sort of know how frugal each of us is with money, so I'll ask anyway. Would you make any wager where you had to put down $100 to win $1?
No. I would not.
This is kind of a lock, though.
It is. I mean, so if you lay down $1,000, you get $100 back. Like I could understand doing that because it's such a lock. It's not Zion Williamson is gonna go number one overall.
Imagine making that pick and then just 5 minutes before the draft starts, you get a push alert on your phone and it's Adrian Wojnarowski. And you just, would you not be absolutely...
New Orleans found something in the medicals of Zion Williamson. They are selecting Ja Morant with the number one overall pick.
This is such a foregone conclusion that there's a Popeyes location in New Orleans. Have you seen this? That is basically doing a one-night-only special tonight during the NBA draft. They're calling it the Wingspan Box.
I did see this.
And it just so happens to be an 82-inch long box of chicken wings and French fries, and maybe you get a biscuit and some dipping sauce, but that happens to be the wingspan of Zion Williamson, and it's available only at one location in New Orleans. So don't be going to the ones in Cedar Rapids wanting the Zion Williamson. How many people, I'm trying to figure out here, how many people do you think it would take to take down this 82-inch box of chicken and God knows what else is in it? What's your minimum, the minimum number of normal human beings, normal-sized human beings, that it would take to get through 82 inches of chicken and biscuits?
I think like four.
77, four. 77 boneless wings.
Oh, that's not that much.
And that's boneless, and that's going to be a point of contention for many people out there who believe boneless wings is just another way to say a chicken nugget. It can't be a wing if you don't have the bones in it. I don't judge. Boneless, bone in, don't care. As long as it's tasty. 77 boneless wings, 11 biscuits, 11 servings of French fries, and then you get a couple dipping sauces because the viscosity, you've got to give yourself a little lubrication to get the wings and fries and everything down. How many people, at a minimum, would you need to take down the Zion Williamson chicken box? I don't want to say their name more than I already have. I don't want to get in trouble. 77 boneless wings, 11 biscuits. I'm running into problem with the biscuits because I like biscuits. I'd want to eat three or four biscuits. I wouldn't have any room for wings. 11 servings of fries. 20 people?
That's way too many.
15?
I think I could.
Can you go 11? Could 11 people? You get one biscuit and one serving of French fries, and then what does that? That breaks down to 11 wings apiece.
I'll 11 go with boneless 11. Wings? I'll go with 11. That's plenty of people.
Now, and what if this wing box was in the vehicle with Stephen A. Smith, O.J. Simpson, and LeVar Ball? I got home last night, and my wife wanted to know how things went. For those of you that maybe missed yesterday's show and are just tuning in and you've wondered where I've been recently, and it may be a very small minority of you, my father passed away, and I made my return, my triumphant return, blubbering my way through the first 30 minutes of the show yesterday, and we got around. She wanted to know how things went, and I had to describe. Sometimes I have issues describing to my wife just exactly how it is that I navigate, with the help of everybody else here, of course, 3 hours of radio every day. And so I tried to explain the concept to my wife of what we discussed last night, this cross-country road trip with Stephen A. Smith, O.J. Simpson, and LeVar Ball. And I found out, much to my surprise, that my wife was oblivious to the existence of one of those three people. She had no And this is really where...
Wait a second.
This is really where the problem began for me last night, because I tried to explain to her who LeVar Ball was, and then I couldn't really do it. And then it sort of underlined...
She didn't know who LeVar Ball is?
It sort of underlined the fact that this guy shouldn't really be famous. I was like,
that's
well...
true.
He's... his son plays basketball, and he got to be famous when his son was in college because he talked a lot, and then ESPN would have him on. I really can't explain why he's famous.
And his son might be good at basketball, he might not be good, but he says that he could beat Michael Jordan,
and then
one-on-one, has never lost one-on-one.
And then even not knowing who LeVar was, I think my wife last night said he's still the first one out of the car. She would take her chances with O.J. and Stephen A. Smith from there to the coast. 319-366-1600.
The text line has let me know that my math is wrong. Thank you all for listening. And yes, that was a bad mistake on my end. If you lay down 100 and get one, you lay down 1,000, you get $10 back.
There
the text
go.
Line about nine times has let me know
somebody
that.
Out there thinks that that's still a solid investment strategy.
No, that's not a very solid investment strategy now that I think about it.
No. $1,000. Hey, you give me $1,000 and I'll give you $10 tomorrow, including your original $1,000 back.
You have to lay down 10 grand to get 100 back?
We are.
Is that math correct?
We are inching ever closer to the territory where this will be an option for people. Illinois passed legalized sports gambling, and they're trying to speed things up so that they're basically on par with Iowa and getting this launched before football season. And it's interesting because in Illinois, they're talking about basically the European model, where you could go to Wrigley Field or Guaranteed Rate Field or Soldier Field or the United Center and place your bet right there, which I think opens up a completely different can of worms. Who among us hasn't spent most of their afternoon in Wrigleyville and then made really bad decisions once you get inside the stadium?
You know who wouldn't like that? The food vendors at Wrigley.
Yeah, I'd buy a $10 beer, but I've got my entire month's salary riding on whether or not the Cubs bullpen can hang on and close this game out, which kudos to the Cubs last night. They wind up splitting the two-game series with the White Sox. And Adbert Alzolay, the prized pitching prospect, and they do have pitching prospects in the Cubs organization, making his way to the major leagues, where he will join the Cubs as they take on the Mets. He's set to make his debut tomorrow, likely in relief. The Mets today they shuffled the deck. They fired their pitching coach and the bullpen coach, because as we all know, that's where all of the problems lie anytime things go south with a baseball team. Fire the hitting coach or fire the pitching coach. Phil Regan is the interim pitching coach. He's 82 years old. And Ricky Bones is coming back as the bullpen coach. Tyler and I had a rather memorable conversation with him when we were sitting in the bullpen at Wrigley Field for the Cubs and the Mets a million years ago, centered around what type of vodka Ricky Bones likes to drink. 319-366-1600, Tyler will tell you, Ricky Bones does not discriminate. That is our Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us. Again, the number is 319-366-1600. So the draft tonight, and we'll get into this a little bit with Steve Kuyler. There's not a ton of intrigue in the state of Iowa for this. I think Talen Horton Tucker is in the picture.
You're looking at late first round, early second round for is
early
where the,
second round most likely.
Most likely early second round, but you never know. You never know what kind of surprises you're going to get, but the general consensus is that between Iowa and Iowa State, there will be most likely one player drafted tonight.
That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Does more than one player with ties to the state of Iowa go off the board tonight? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. We mentioned the news of the day. It was the news yesterday and now furthered along today. The firing of Iowa volleyball coach Bond Szymanski, who was put on paid administrative leave a little over a month ago, that was set to expire this week. So Iowa went ahead and pulled the plug on Bond Szymanski as head coach. He, through his law firm that he has hired to represent him, a Des Moines law firm, put out a statement today to, it's not trying, he can't save his job at Iowa, but he's trying to save his reputation. And so we now know, at least according to Bond Szymanski, what the major rules violation was that he committed. And I'll read the statement here. I do not discriminate against, abuse, or harass anyone, and there has never been an allegation of sexual misconduct against me. In an act of compassion, I advanced funds to cover a young woman's unanticipated summer expenses in 2017. She came to Iowa City expecting to be on full scholarship, but when that status changed, she had nowhere else to turn. I have prided myself on running an NCAA-compliant program. However, I understand that I didn't do it right by NCAA standards in this one instance, and I am prepared to accept whatever sanction is deemed appropriate by the NCAA. He goes on to say that he was born and raised a Hawkeye, loves being part of the Iowa City community and the University of Iowa committee, yada, yada, yada. I see a couple problems with that. And you're making a face. I think you also have some issues with
that. Well, the first problem that I see with it is that he admitted to committing the crime.
I have prided myself on running an NCAA-compliant program.
And then admits to breaking an major NCAA rule, like you can't pay somebody's rent.
It was either paying rent or it was paying tuition or it was paying both. And I get that oftentimes things come up and this transfer student, perhaps there was a snag in the clearinghouse where all of a sudden, instead of being able to be on scholarship in the summer, and scholarship, for those of you who maybe aren't terribly familiar with it, scholarship usually also includes money for room and board.
Yes.
So it's not just, oh, the classes are getting paid for and everything else is fine and dandy. So all of a sudden, you're anticipating that you're going to have money for rent and books and to eat, and it's not there. And so Bon Szymanski, according to his Robin Hood version of reality, comes to the rescue and provides financial assistance to a player in his program.
Well, here's the problem. This is not a...
Not all heroes wear capes.
This isn't an uncommon thing. There have been plenty of players and athletes that have had to pay their own way for just the summer before they go on scholarship in the fall. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about a transfer who came for summer workouts and was in presumably enrolled in school during the summer session, and the scholarship would take effect during the fall. The person has to pay their own way. Those are the rules. And there are many ways to handle this. And I'm a little conflicted on this because, yes, if a coach takes money out of his own pocket to help out a kid, that sounds refreshing. But here's the problem. The NCAA doesn't look at it that way. It is against the rules.
Nor should they.
No.
Because once you edge up to that very fine line and decide to cross it, then what's to stop the next coach from crossing it for slightly less valiant reasons? And then the next thing you know, you're in this expanse of lawlessness and players are being compensated and things of that nature. And from an Iowa standpoint, the athletic department now gets to play the waiting game because they discovered this, they reported it to the NCAA. There's no guarantee that the NCAA drops this or that the NCAA really does much of anything with this. They could choose to take a deeper look at the athletic department, or they could do a cursory glance and say, you know what, this is a one-time thing here. It's not going to affect other programs. So they're stuck in limbo for the most part in Iowa City because this is a major rules violation. And if I'm the NCAA and I look and say, well, it occurred with one program and the athletic director didn't know about it, assuming Gary Barta didn't know about it, because what the NCAA is going to want to investigate or find out is, was this an isolated incident? Did any of the assistant coaches on the staff know? Did any of the administrators know? Because if the administrators know, if this is the world's worst kept secret, which I don't think it is the case here, I think this was Bon Szymanski doing the work of a lone wolf. But
clearly,
that's what the NCAA is going to, and that's where Iowa could get into trouble. If the NCAA found out that other people in the department knew about this and either covered it up or didn't report it sooner, that's where you start to worry about the tentacles reaching other programs. But right now, this is isolated. This is a volleyball program and a volleyball problem only.
Well, yeah, if I'm a betting man, I don't think the NCAA.
Would you put $1,000 on it to win a dollar?
No.
Exactly.
Or $10. I don't think they're going to look much into this. I really don't. One
slow time of year for everybody.
One coach paying rent
you don't
for
want that?
One player. They get rid of the coach. Nobody else knew about it. I don't think they're going to come digging around. They fire the coach. They might give him a small slap on the wrist sanction. It's been sort of it was an isolated incident. Now the athletic department now has to say we can't have any more incidents like this in the very near future, because another one happens, that's when the NCAA comes digging.
9121 on the Hertzien and Stocker text line wants to know why the student athlete, and I this is Taylor Lewis, I believe, the Marquette transfer. Not that she has anything to do with this, but it's fairly easy to connect the dots here. Why didn't the student athlete take out a student loan like everyone else? Student loans are not a process like going to the bank and saying, hey, I want to buy a house, and bing, bang, boom, yeah, credit check passes, and we've got you lined up because we're going to gladly take your 4.3% interest for the next 30 years or whatever it is. Student loans are a process that you start, it takes months, if I recall correctly, from decades ago to enter into the process and get those loans approved. This sounds to me like it was a little bit of a, my assumption here is that everybody was under the impression that things would go through the clearinghouse relatively quickly and something, there was a snag or something. And no, not eligible for scholarship aid until the fall. Well, she's living here, she's training here. What's she going to do? And that's when a Good Samaritan came to the rescue. And it just so happens that the Good Samaritan was the head coach of the volleyball program.
Doesn't this sort of feel like when you plan something and then something doesn't go, you get a bunch of people involved, then something doesn't go exactly correctly, and you leave somebody hanging out to dry, and you do anything that you can to correct it, anything at all, because you realize that maybe I overlooked something. If I'm Bon Chimansky, I thought that she was going to be, that everything was in line. We had all our T's crossed and I's dotted to where she is going to have a scholarship right away, and then she gets to campus and then there's no scholarship. That's sort of what I drew from this. But at the same time, we keep going back to it. It is very clear. You cannot pay for somebody's rent, room and board, or tuition if you're the head coach.
It's a bold strategy to put your entire career on the line in this particular instance, because there's no guarantee. And again, we are talking about the NCAA, and we all know how. Look, Rick Pitino is going to get another coaching job. Despite all of those smokers over in Greece, in the smoky arena, he led that team to a championship. Someone will hire Rick Pitino. Someone always hires the Bobby Petrinos and the other coaches that have crossed paths with the NCAA, and most of us wouldn't even want to cross the same side of the street with some of these coaches that are so dirty. Somebody's probably going to give him a second chance, and that's what he's trying. That's what he's angling. That's what he's working for here with this statement. He's trying to, because Iowa was vague about it, he's now trying to get out in front of this, and he constructs the narrative. And the narrative that he has constructed is, I'm a good coach, I follow the rules, except for this one time where I didn't. And then it's a question of, do you want to take a chance on that if you're an athletic director looking to hire a volleyball coach?
The other thing that sort of hit me is that where this allegation came from, apparently it came from a former player.
Not shocking at all.
Not shocking. The question comes up, does that show that there was a little bit of unrest within the program? Or was this just somebody who maybe was not happy that they were not on scholarship or receiving the same benefit?
If you remember several years ago when Iowa's athletic department got itself into hot water over the handling of the Tracy Griesbaum termination, that was some players and some parents who were upset about playing time. That all of a sudden bubbled to the surface and boiled over.
That's true. It only takes one.
319-366-1600. Let's bring Kyle into the studio. We'll get a big board update in, and then Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders is with us on the other side of this break. Big board updates on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you each day here three times a day by Alexander Lumber. You can find them at their temporary location of 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
As has been discussed here in the opening half hour of the Todd Bromelkamp Show, former Iowa volleyball coach Bon Szymanski released a statement today shedding some light on his termination, which became official yesterday. And as he tells it, a player in the summer of 2017 expected to arrive at the school on full scholarship, but that standing caught a snag and left her in need of rent, for which Szymanski then footed the bill. Tyrese Halliburton was one of six collegiate players to make the final cut for Team USA's Under-19 World Cup team, and I know we touched on this earlier in the week, but Halliburton's going to be getting some extremely high-level exposure on this team. It's made up of six of the top five-star prospects still in high school, and all but one of the other collegians were also top prospects last year. If all goes well, he'll be in a position to be drafted next year, but his former teammate Talon Horton Tucker has a chance to be drafted tonight. He's a highly polarizing prospect because of his abnormal physical characteristics, but his skill set has him in the first-round conversation. He could realistically go anywhere from, say, 20 to 40. We'll be off the air at 6 tonight to pick up the draft on the South and Main gyms. It's unlikely but not impossible that a couple other familiar names could be called, but our Twins fans out there can also hear them on the road from Kansas City on the North Gym at 7.
And speaking of the Twins, another promotion today for the Cedar Rapids Colonels as they get the second half underway tonight at Peoria. Outfielder Gabriel Maciel, one of the three prospects acquired from the Diamondbacks last year in the Eduardo Escobar trade, on the way to high Class A Fort Myers after hitting .309 in the first half. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll check in with Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders. And before 5 o'clock today, your chance to prove that you are smarter than Alexa and walk away with a brand new Amazon Echo. It's all on the way in the next 30 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Get ready for Fairfax USA Days tomorrow and Saturday. Come for the Friday Street Dance with Robin Banks, free kids carnival and activities, huge parade, hero breakfast, and fireworks display. There'll be lots of fun for your whole family.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
Trying to take back your space and have old appliances, grills, and lawnmowers that don't work anymore and old tires in your garage or basement? Bring them to the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. Starting July 1st, appliances, scrap metal, and tires will only be accepted at 1954 County Home Road in Marion, the same location as the landfill and resource recovery building, so you can take care of all your disposal and recycling in one trip. Some items have a drop-off fee, so get pricing and other details at Solid Waste Agency.
Before the start of the game, or once the game is over, the soundtrack for your celebration is Smart Rock on Smart FM. KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect combination for a great summer of top-of-the-line sports coverage, and Smart Rock is the perfect complement for all the action on and off the field. Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as 106.3 and 107.5 FM Iowa City Cedar Rapids, respectively, online at kgymradio.com. Don't forget, abbreviated program tonight, as we'll be off the air at 6 o'clock so we can join up with ESPN's coverage of the NBA draft. And joining us now, our final draft segment of the season, Steve Kuyler of Basketball Insiders is with us. And Steve, things are pretty well set at the top of the draft board so far tonight. We kind of have a good idea of what the top three or four, maybe even four teams are doing, but where's the intrigue going to come from tonight?
Well, I think that we're not set at the top. You know, the New York Knicks have kind of thrown a little bit of a monkey wrench into this process, and that they had Darius Garland from Vanderbilt in yesterday for a workout, told his agent, Rich Paul, that he was firmly in the discussion for them at three. They did a little bit of, you know, informal surveying around the league, asking other executives to kind of weigh in on RJ Barrett because they don't seem to be as sold on him as maybe they should be. And then this morning they had Kobe White in for a workout in their facility. So, you know, the Knicks seem to be looking at a lot of things and kind of a last minute, what are we going to do? And I think the fact that New Orleans is being pretty aggressive about trying to get RJ Barrett for themselves makes the intrigue really maybe after one. So it's getting interesting.
Where did the Darius Garland hype sort of come from? I know he missed most of the year, and then all of a sudden he was after a few workouts he was sort of shooting up draft boards.
Well, before he got injured at Vanderbilt, he was maybe the number one point guard on the board, and I honestly think had he played a full college basketball season, he would be the number one point guard behind or in front of Ja Morant. But because of a knee injury, because we didn't get to see a whole lot, you didn't see him against other elite-level players, it's kind of like Darius Bazley in that out of sight, out of mind. Then you get him in your gym and you go, oh, yeah, he's actually really good. You know, for Garland, he's a 6'2 point guard that has all of the NBA skills you want, great playmaker, solid shooter, might be one of the best shooters in the class, certainly one of the best shooters at the guard position. Incredible athlete, and if everything's true, you know, no lingering issues in the knee. So, you know, the fact that teams really didn't get to poke and prod at him with their medical staff, you know, means some teams may take a pass, but I think the late hype is more reminder of how good he was before he got hurt, because it's easy to kind of get caught up in the last thing you saw.
Steve Kuyler of Basketball Insiders with us tonight on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. What is it about RJ Barrett that maybe is scaring the Knicks away from him?
He might be a little bit too much alpha male. And for a franchise that just went through the whole thing with Carmelo Anthony, I think the comparison to Carmelo Anthony from a personality point of view has some at a pause. You know, he is one of these guys that was kind of groomed to be here. You know, he's been playing high level AAU, was on an elite prep team, has played on national teams. You know, RJ is RJ and he knows it. And that may not necessarily be as attractive if you're trying to build a team around some young guys. And Jarrett Culver kind of carries this knock too, is that if you put him on a losing team or a team that's maybe a little weaker at one position, is he going to be a willing defer? Is he going to try to do too much? And there is a sense that both of those players are wired in such a way that they may not be the best teammates, that they may not, you know, be as cooperative with a weaker coach. And if you're not 100% locked in terms of maybe a young guy that's a little bit better than each one of those guys, or a head coach that can really control the situation, you know, these guys could get you out of control pretty quick. And that's where you start to look at, are there better options? And then more importantly, and I think this is the case for the Knicks, is how do you preserve as much cap space for free agency? How do you get as many assets out of the opportunity? And if somebody's going to give you two or three things for a guy you're not 100% sold on, then that's why you look at it. But I think at the end of the day, the best player for the New York Knicks is RJ Barrett. I think they're trying to convince themselves that that's the case.
Steve, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. They're picking at number 7. They're in desperate need of a lead guard. Are Gar Forman and John Paxson sitting here right now praying that Kobe White from North Carolina drops to them?
Well, you hope that there's a scenario that that happens. But again, Kobe White has been all over the board in terms of, you know, he worked out for the Knicks at 3 today. He was in to see the Washington Wizards at 9. He was in to see the Minnesota Timberwolves at 11. There was, you know, belief that the Phoenix Suns had made a promise to him at 6. Now Darius Garland could be there at 6. So, you know, the Bulls are kind of all over the place. And the truth of it is there are some other players they like quite a bit. I think as much as fans want to see them solve the point guard problem. None of the guards that are available to them look like that long-term answer, unless it's Darius Garland. You know, Coby White is probably more Eric Bledsoe than point guard, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but Jackson Hayes seems to be right there. Siku Doyambe, the kid from France, seems to be right there. So there are a lot of opportunities. And then, of course, DeAndre Hunter seems like a guy that the Bulls really are high on as well. So I think their board at 7 has a lot of names on it. And when you pick at 7, you almost have to, because you never know who's going to trade into the 4 or 5, even the 6, because it does look like all three of those picks are in play.
The front office has come under a lot of fire there in Chicago over the last couple of years. They drafted a center or a big guy last year in Wendell Carter Jr. What do you think the reaction of the fan base is going to be if they do somehow pick Jackson Hayes out of Texas?
Yeah, you know, those guys have been under siege. Aren't they buying billboards in Chicago now to fire those guys? You know, when they're buying billboards, you just have to stop looking. At the end of the day, the Bulls have to find the right combination of players that are going to allow them to turn this thing around, either by internal growth or in trade. And acquiring the best possible asset in the draft, whether that's a positional need or not, allows you to look at other things. And with the value that Lauri Markkanen can have and what Wendell Carter Jr. should be this year as a sophomore, there's a lot of things that could make things really interesting for the Bulls in terms of trading for somebody. If you don't have the answer in the player, go get the asset. And I think that as much as we like to get caught up in get the player, the assets are usually what allows you to get the next big thing. And look no further than the LA Lakers. They get Anthony Davis because they had a lot of good assets. So if you want to really try to move the team, if you don't have a superstar, you need assets to trade for one.
Steve, Bol Bol is not going to be a top 15 pick tonight, most likely, but there's a lot of intrigue surrounding him. What teams would he fit in on?
Well, one of the teams that has multiple picks, whether that is, you know, the Atlanta Hawks, whether that is the Cleveland Cavaliers, whether that is the Boston Celtics, where they can take a gamble on his upside. His upside is tremendous, you know, crazy long, can score, knack for playing basketball, natural basketball instincts, but huge big red flags. You know, he had a navicular injury. Word is he may have to have that looked at again surgically, so there's some concern there. Does he love basketball? You know, he's one of these guys that has kind of been pushed through the basketball world because of his natural ability. He's not known as a hard worker, first guy in the gym, last guy to leave type personality. And then there's the fact that he's 208 pounds. You know, when's the last time we saw a 7-footer at that size that's not a center make it in the NBA? And other than Kristaps Porzingis, there really haven't been. So there are a lot of things that make Bol Bol kind of a risk, if you will. So when you're sitting on 3 picks, you can afford to gamble a little bit because the upside, if it hits, could be very good somewhere in between Porzingis and Giannis if the kid really loves to play.
What about a prospect like Cam Reddish, a guy who didn't have necessarily a very good freshman season at Duke or didn't live up to the potential that he could have in his freshman season, but it seems almost like he's earmarked for Atlanta at pick number 8 to kind of build around Trae Young.
Well, the one thing about Cam Reddish is NBA teams love him. They love his skill set. They love his personality. They love, you know, almost everything about him. The knock on him was just how willing he was to defer at Duke. And there were situations where it was his time to shine, and he was more than happy to give up that opportunity to somebody else. You can't do that in the NBA because then you get known where I don't have to guard you. You're not going to be that guy. So, you know, he's got some things that are pushing him down. I think from a pure skill set point of view, he's one of the top 3-4 guys in the draft. He's that skilled. So if you can get him at 8, you know, 9, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, that's tremendous value because what he does, he is a perfect complement to a team that already has things. And when you think about how much attention Trae Young draws, Cam Reddish is just going to be able to feast on open threes.
Steve Kuyler with us for just a few more minutes from BasketballInsiders.com. Not a ton of Big Ten names looking to go off the board tonight in the first round. Romeo Langford appears to be the most likely first player from the Big Ten to be taken. It seems scouts are kind of divided on him.
Well, some of it is his own doing. You know, it's come out that he had a pretty bad back injury at Indiana, didn't tell anybody about it, tore a ligament in his thumb, didn't tell anybody about it. So when you look at the results and you know what has gone on with him physically, you go, wow, I wonder what this guy would be like if he was right physically. And he's gone in to workouts and really kind of shown glimpses of why he could be a very special NBA player, a good rotation player, and is why he's now very firmly in the discussion in the 10 to 18 range, which when you think about his season probably would have sounded like a moonshot, you know, 6 months ago. But, you know, he's one of those guys that has a lot of proven NBA skills. He's a guy that seems like he's willing to work to get better. He's got a very humble attitude about the whole process, and I think that's why he's going to go in the top 20.
What about Carson Edwards? There aren't a ton of score-first point guards, shooting guards in the NBA, but it's hard to overlook his production at Purdue.
And that's kind of the thing, is he looks like a highly productive college player. Teams are really struggling with, will he be that kind of player in the NBA? He's everything you want in terms of a locker room leader, his character on the floor, his pass-first ability, his ability to score. But for whatever reason, he's not one of those guys that's being talked about in the top 30. There's a very good chance that his range is 24 to 40. And that would be a little surprising given the resume. But I think a lot of it is just that he's a little bit older. Teams tend to not draft older guys. Just look no further than Malcolm Brogdon. You know, the second round, that early part of the second round is probably where Carson's going to land. And that's kind of disappointing given the season that he's had. But the draft is much more about raw potential now. I think the earliest he could go is maybe 22 to the Boston Celtics. You know, they've got some real point guard issues going on there. And, you know, the question is can they find some value there late in the first round that makes sense for Carson Edwards?
Steve, does what Toronto did in winning the NBA championship without a single lottery pick on its roster, does that take away some of the importance from tonight, or does it add to maybe a little bit of intrigue here for fans of teams that would be picking outside of the lottery portion of the draft?
Well, I think that, one, it shows that you don't necessarily have to have lottery picks to get there, but it also kind of overlooks how special Kawhi Leonard was, certainly the transformation Kyle Lowry's had since being drafted, you know, getting tremendous value out of Pascal Siakam, you know, and that's where this draft, you know, we always go, oh, it's a six-player draft. But, yeah, Donovan Mitchell went 11. Jimmy Butler went 30. Isaiah Thomas went 60. Nikola Jokic went in the 50s. You can find good players if your scouting department is doing the right job and the kid lands in the right situation with the right work ethic. So I think the Toronto blueprint is don't throw away those picks in the 20s. Those picks in the 20s can actually produce really good players, especially if you pick the right guy.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring this up because I hear that too. It's a three, it's a four-player draft, and you've heard that about so many other drafts in the past, yet there have been some ultimate wild card type players, boomer bust prospects that have changed franchises. Do you think that there's one or two of those guys outside of the top five that could do so?
Yeah, you know, I really like Sekou Doumbé, the kid from France. He looks like he's got that real interesting upside potential year away type guy, you know. And then the real question is like, what does Jackson Hayes become? You know, he's so young, so raw. Does he become a really good player in time, much like a John Collins? So I think there's a few players in that. I'm curious to see what Kevin Porter looks like as an NBA player, you know, skills and talent all over the place. A little bit of a reputation as a knucklehead. If he lands in the right organization, does he become, you know, one of those guys? It's like, how did we let that guy go by us in a DeMar DeRozan kind of way? So I think there's going to be a few guys in there. And certainly in the second round, I think, is where we're going to see what does Kai Bowman become? You know, what does guys like, you know, there are just so many of those, what we'll call like the Jalen Horrors, the dudes that played really well in college basketball that weren't thought of as NBA guys, but have so much great basketball DNA that they can become really good players. Daniel Gafford could be one of those guys from Arkansas. So I think there's going to be some players in here that you'll go, oh, I didn't like them. And then 6 months later, you're like, wow, I'm glad I grabbed them.
Steve, always appreciate our chats with you and enjoy the draft this evening. Thank you very much.
Anytime.
Steve Kyler, Basketball Insiders. Give him a follow on Twitter. And again, we'll step aside after the 5 o'clock hour tonight is over to join up with ESPN's coverage of the NBA draft. A little bit of, I don't want to say there's smoke at the top of the draft with RJ Barrett, but too much of an alpha male.
That's interesting, because when you get a guy who's a freshman at Duke like RJ Barrett was, you wonder how much. I'm not going to say he was a bad player, that he was a very productive player at Duke. He was a very good player, but there were just sort of times where he disappeared, and you wonder what was going on. That was sort of the last thing I expected to hear about him, and it's sort of strange hearing that about a guy who was sort of the second fiddle at Duke behind, yes, I get it, a generational talent in Zion Williamson.
Don't you want the alpha male?
Yeah, but I you do, but it seems like
not the Knicks.
When Zion was out, where was that alpha male showing up? Where was that guy taking over in a productive way and leading his team to victory? Because quite honestly, talent wise, he may be a number one overall talent in most other drafts, but that team was just not very good without Zion Williamson. That's a concern.
And we mentioned that there's not a ton of intrigue or interest in Big Ten prospects. Romeo Langford is looking like a middle-of-the-first-round pick.
Right.
Bruno Fernando out of Maryland, Hawkeye fans are very familiar with Bruno Fernando out of Maryland, looking like he could sneak up into the back end of the first round. And outside of that, this just was not a very heavy year for the Big Ten in terms of first-round talents go.
No. I want to see if Carson Edwards sneaks up into that first round. If somebody takes a flyer on him based on what, say, a Quinn Cook did for the Golden State Warriors last year, running that second unit and being a scoring option off the bench and maybe a guy in a pinch who can run with the first unit. But you just don't see a whole lot of guys in the NBA like him. At the same time, you don't see a whole lot of guys in college basketball being able to score at will the way that he did against top-level competition all season long and lead his team and carry his team the way that Carson Edwards did at Purdue.
Now, Big 12 talent, there's some recognizable names there for Iowa State fans, not necessarily Iowa State players, although maybe we hear one player's name called tonight over the course of the two rounds.
Talen Horton Tucker, I think, is sort of in that same range as Carson Edwards, where is a team going to fall in love with the potential? There's a possibility of that. He's still very, 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 very early on in his development, and I probably wouldn't spend a first round pick on him, but that's going to be up to the teams drafting at the back half of the first round who don't necessarily need an instant impact type player.
I do agree with him that the draft has become much more about potential than it has about guys that can come in and make an instant impact. And I don't know whether that's a good thing for the NBA or not. Now they've got the G League going. They have ways to develop talent that's not ready for the league, which is really what's plagued the NBA over the last couple decades, in my opinion. But it's a little bit of a tough sell to the casual fan. And I do believe there are casual NBA fans in Eastern Iowa. I think there are casual NBA fans everywhere across the country. This is a little bit of a casual sell because you're not getting as you are with the first round of the NFL draft. You don't see much of this in the NFL draft where a team will take a guy who's long on potential and short on results. Now, a lot of that has to also do with the setup and the fact that you see these guys in college for 3 years and they have an established track record. But the NFL draft, your team's first round pick, you know you're getting a kind of a plug and play guy or somebody who's going to come to camp and work his way into the conversation. You don't really know what you're getting with many of these selections. Now, you certainly do with, like, Zion Williamson. Everybody knows what you're getting with Zion Williamson. Outside of that, there are some real gambles here.
Well, in football, you know you're getting a guy that's been in college for 3 years. And that's, I think, the big difference now, or the big difference with the NBA. You're getting a guy that was in college for 1 year and may or may not have really put out max effort in his 1 year at college, knowing that he was going to be a top-level draft pick. The problem with the NBA, and I hear this all the time, well, these teams at the bottom, the Suns, the Pelicans, the Bulls, they have pieces. They got pieces to build on. Atlanta's another one. Well, yeah, that's because the NBA, the teams at the top, they stay at the top, and the teams at the bottom are consistently drafting in the top five. So I would be more concerned if those teams didn't have pieces. It would say a lot about where they're drafting and, or excuse me, who they're drafting and their talent development. But still, those teams, you're going to try to develop a young core group of 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old kids to go up against these super teams, you're already climbing an uphill battle.
We have for you an Amazon Echo tonight. We've been giving them away all week by asking, are you smarter than Alexa? And that is the question that we will ask a lucky contestant when they return with us after this break. The number to call, to get ready to call, I should say, is 319-366-1600. When we return, we will play a statement from Alexa. It's going to be either accurate or false. And the first person to tell us whether or not it is true or false will take home, correctly, I should say, after last night's debacle. The first person to correctly tell us whether the statement is true or false is going to take home an Amazon Echo, which you can use to listen to KGYM and also the podcasts for the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, as well as the Gym Class. Details on how to do so are available at kgymradio.com. When we return, are you smarter than Alexa? It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. Back after this.
The Bomba ballot is now open.
Cruz drops the boom in Baltimore here in the opening inning.
Get out of here! Home run, Byron Buxton!
Eddie Rosario with a ninth inning three-run homer.
Vote for your Minnesota Twins five times a day to receive access to a $10 ticket for the Twins-Rangers series leading into the All-Star break.
Congratulations, Polanco, a cycle in Philadelphia.
To redeem your ticket and vote, visit twinsbaseball.com/vote.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports. You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
We're talking about a potential megastar.
This team needs a franchise cornerstone. They need someone they can build around.
The NBA Draft.
Tonight, starting at 6 o'clock here on The Gym. 106.3 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM.
Since 2000. Iowa State has had three times as many players drafted into the NBA as Iowa.
Are you smarter than Alexa? Was that statement true or false? 319-366-1600. We'll take two callers right now because we want to have one in reserve just in case the first caller does not get the correct answer. Our Alexa statement of the night: since 2000, Iowa State has had three times as many players drafted. Did that say first round?
I think it's just the total.
Okay. Let's play it again just so that I don't screw something else up this week.
Since 2000, Iowa State has had three times as many players drafted into the NBA as Iowa.
So drafted into the NBA. Not first round, second round. Iowa State has had three times as many players drafted as Iowa in the last since 2000. That's our statement from Alexa tonight. If we get a winner here, there's somebody's going to take home a brand new Amazon Echo, and it looks like, help me out here.
Heath in Anamosa.
Heath in Anamosa. Oh, he's got first ahead of Heath. I was trying to figure out what that... Okay, Heath, did you hear the statement from Alexa?
Yes, I did.
Okay, is that statement true or false?
I would say false.
Well, let's go ahead and go to our backup, John in Cedar Rapids. John, was that statement true or false?
I would say true.
And you would be correct, John. Congratulations. You are going to take home a brand new Amazon Echo, courtesy of the good folks down the hall here at KGYM. Just a reminder, you can use that device to listen to this station, our podcast, the Gym Class Podcast. And Alex and Kyle are going to have another opportunity for you to take home an Amazon Echo the final time coming up tomorrow. Speaking of that question, that little bit of a draft drought that the Iowa basketball program is on. Haven't had a first rounder, since Ricky Davis back in the day. Is that an issue for the Iowa basketball program? We'll tackle that and more coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. A reminder, the 5 o'clock hour will be the final hour of tonight's program as we are stepping aside for the NBA draft at 6 o'clock. That's on two frequencies, 1600 and 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM. You will get the Minnesota Twins tonight. Woodja is on tap in the 5 o'clock hour, as well as a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. So plenty of reasons for you to stick around with us through the next 60 minutes.
And also a trade before the NBA draft, and a pretty important one as well.
Oh boy, he's going to make you wait. He's better at this than I am. A big NBA trade. We'll get to that and more when we return. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The New Orleans Pelicans hold the number one pick in tonight's NBA draft, and they're undoubtedly planning to take Duke Zion Williamson. Although ESPN's Brian Windhorst does have some questions.
My concern is what position is he going to play defensively? He's not quick enough, I don't think, to stay the small forward, at least a lot of it. And they're going to want to play him at center.
Brian Windhorst on First Take. The Pelicans also hold the fourth pick in a trade with the Lakers. The Hawks are the only other team with two lottery picks at 8 and 10. Our live draft coverage starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, TV, and the app. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports the Suns agree to trade T.J. Warren and the $35 million left on his contract to the Pacers. Indiana also gets a second-round pick tonight. Phoenix gets cash in return. At the Women's World Cup, Team USA beat Sweden today 2-0. Next up for the Americans, a round of 16 matchup against Spain on Monday. Baseball today, the Rangers beat the Indians 4-2 in Texas.
Coming up Friday, we'll take a look at the biggest picks from the NBA draft. And yes, that even includes the picks after number 4. Plus, what do those picks mean to the top free agents in the NBA? More on that Golic and Wingo Friday. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by CarePro Home Medical. Connect with CarePro for the medical products you need and the professional support you deserve. CarePROHealthServices.com.
Did you work out a little too hard? Or maybe overdo it with yard work? Whatever it was, you're feeling it today.
Ooh.
So let CarePro Home Medical help. CarePro Home Medical has something to soothe that soreness, including Biofreeze, ice packs, cold therapy wraps, and pain relief devices to get you back to feeling better. Even weekend warriors need a little help sometimes. Visit CarePro Home Medical in Cedar Rapids or Coralville and connect with people and answers you need.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports! You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
The Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger is one of McDonald's most popular burgers in Spain. To try one, you'd have to reprogram your GPS,
recalculate it,
go to the airport, leave your car, buy a plane ticket, land in Madrid, and go to McDonald's.
Bienvenida a McDonald's.
Or you could hang that next left and get to your neighborhood McDonald's now. Because for a limited time, the juicy Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger and other worldwide favorites are here. Around the world is now around the corner at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
504 and Alex dealing with the repercussions, the fallout of a Woj bomb right as we go to break there. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you for the next 60 minutes until we each go our respective ways. I will be back with you on Monday. Alex and Kyle Mann, our producer, will be here tomorrow holding down the fort for 3 hours. Let's go ahead and get to this. Woja is on the way. We've got a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub to give away as well here in the 5 o'clock, the final hour, also the 5 o'clock hour tonight. A major trade has occurred which impacts the top of the NBA draft tonight. When I say the top, I usually refer to the top five selections.
Now, the number 4 overall pick now has changed hands for a second time in the last 2 weeks. The New Orleans Pelicans in the trade for Anthony Davis had acquired it. Now they have given it to the Atlanta Hawks for pick number 8, pick number 17, and 35. The Pelicans are sending Solomon Hill and the number 57 pick and a future second-round pick to the Hawks as well.
So, Alex Kuhn, what does this mean according, for people who do not follow the NBA draft?
According to Adrian Wojnarowski, Atlanta is going up to number 4 in pursuit of Virginia's DeAndre Hunter.
Sorry, Bulls fans.
He's not going to be a Chicago Bull.
I think there are a lot of Chicago fans out there that thought, oh, he's going to slip. He's going to fall. And it seems to me that maybe the top 5 picks have now sort of solidified here following this trade.
Now, you mentioned that the Cleveland, according to several reports, is likely to take Darius Garland out of Vanderbilt.
That is the speculation at this point. So the top 5, well, I guess we've still got the R.J. Barrett situation to suss out, but I still think he's
going to the Knicks.
I still think you take a trigger. Someone on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line wanted to know if alpha male, as Steve Kuyler described Barrett, if that was a euphemism for douchebag. No, I think alpha male just means sort of opinionated, headstrong, very confident, and some organizations may not want that from a young rookie player. Now, if the guy's got talent, I would certainly want him in my locker room. But that seems to be the excuse that the Knicks are flirting with, maybe as a trial balloon, floating that, trying to see what the reaction is. Could they get away with passing on him? But I think at this point, and we'll find out more here in the 6 o'clock hour once we're off the air, but the top 5 selections of the draft pretty much seem set in stone at this point. The Bulls are picking at 7, and they may have a clearer picture at this point of who they will have available at 7. And maybe if they were hoping that Hunter was going to fall, I can't remember whether it was, I think it was either the Stephen A. Smith show or a Will Cain this afternoon, but one of the ESPN talking heads said that they thought Hunter was going to be an absolute steal if he fell out of the top 5 and fell into Chicago's hands at number 7.
I think that was Jay Billis.
It was Jay, but thank you. Yes, it was Jay Billis who said that. So that's most likely not going to happen right now. So maybe, going back to our conversation with Steve Kuyler in the 4 o'clock hour, maybe Chicago now entertains moving 7 and acquiring a couple more assets, because the draft, as we touched on in the last hour, is now about upside and taking a flyer or two, buying a lottery ticket, however you want to describe it. And that may be the situation that Chicago is in, unless they like a player that they feel now most likely gets to them at number 7. And again, this is all moving parts, and there's still a lot of speculation. There could be more trading to be done before the draft gets underway. But 7, as we talked about from the beginning, was going to be a pretty precarious spot to be in for the Bulls anyway, because this was a 4-player draft probably at the top of the board. And then if you had the wrong teams come up ahead of you between 5 and 7, maybe that one player, and in this particular instance, DeAndre Hunter, wasn't going to be there for you, and that now does appear to be the case.
I still think that a guy like Coby White out of North Carolina makes a lot of sense for the Chicago Bulls if he is there. I don't think Darius Garland, if those reports are true, is going to slide past 5, and I think he would be the pick for the Bulls. There will still be players there that make sense, and I know there are some Bulls fans that are very nervous about what direction the front office is going to go in with this draft, and you should be, because if they go out and take the high upside center out of Texas and Jackson Hayes, I would have no problem with the fan base revolting. I get that you want to acquire assets, and I get that you want to bring in the best players on your team, but you cannot sit there and tell me that drafting another center when you did last year is a good idea when there are plenty of guys, plenty of wing players, lead guards, and guards available for you there at 7. I don't care about value at this point. Put together a roster that makes some sort of sense. That's it.
9406 on the text line is asking about Skip Bayless being pulled into the web of an internet troll, which you guys touched on a couple days ago. We were discussing this in our office earlier today about Skip Bayless, who is now seemingly rolls out of bed in the morning and wants to say stupid, crazy things because it gives him attention, and much like a moth to a flame, it triggers some sort of sensory that brings him joy. Could you ever do what Skip Bayless has done with his career? There was a time, and it wasn't all that long ago, when Skip Bayless was a respected newspaper writer, a columnist. And now, because the newspaper industry is going the way of, unfortunately, going the way of other dying industries, he's decided that he's latched himself fully onto the TV side of things. And in order to extract as much money as possible in his final years before retirement, he's just going to say whatever crazy thing comes to mind and not worry about his reputation. Could you do that for a life-altering sum of money?
See, I thought about this, and my first instinct is to say no, but how hard could it be? Like, just say whatever you think about something, just say the opposite of that. Post it on your Twitter, say it's coming up on whatever, fill in the blank network next, and people get upset with you, and you rake in a bunch of cash. I could. I don't want to.
If somebody came to me and said, we will pay you enough money that your son, and my son will not be going to college for another 15 years, so God only knows what college is going to cost at that point in time. But maybe free by then. We don't. Who knows? I still think it's, my guess is, my hunch is it's going to cost money, though. It's going to cost somebody some money. If somebody came to me and said, your son is going to never have to worry about paying for college. You're going to have enough money. You can buy a bigger house. You can have somebody come and clean that house. You're going to live your best life. You're never going to have to worry about money again until you die. But the trade-off for that is you have to become a laughingstock. And would your personal pride allow you to make that deal with the devil? And I think we know the answer for Skip Bayless. Skip,
yes,
said,
we do.
Give me the check. I'm going to go to the nearest bank. 319-366-1600.
After he quoted a troll account on Twitter yesterday, he was, I guess, in the middle of his show, tempting and or like teasing the rest of his show on Twitter. He asked the question, why I believe Brett Favre still wants to play next on his show. How hard could that be?
He's got to be the only person in America outside of Brett Favre himself who is thinking that Brett Favre could still play football. And he doesn't really think that. He's just saying
that
to be ludicrous. And then another $50,000 check falls from the sky into his lap. And he goes and does whatever it is rich people do with exorbitant amounts of money. 319-366-1600. You yourself can alter the course of the program and the discussion that Alex and I have by texting us on the Hertzien and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. And that is a big hell yes from 6936. If you were offered a life-changing amount of money and you had to be a permanent laughingstock for the rest of your life, there are people out there that would say, no problem. That's a little bit different than Stu Gatz on the Dan Le Batard show, because his is, it's shtick, but he's in on it. I mean, that's his shtick. They've created this sort of court jester of a character there, and he plays it very well. It's not really shtick from Skip Bayless.
No, you know that Stu Gatz is joking most of
right.
the time.
Skip Bayless is just a carny. I mean, he's just out there, well, how do I separate this network from its money? I have to say this? Okay, I'll do it.
It's like, what can I say to get the most amount of shock out of our listeners? And the thing that gets me is, people are still shocked with things that he says. Like that guy, how long has this guy been doing what he's been doing?
Not all that long.
At least 10 years, right?
10 years ago, I think he was still fairly respected.
But he was still saying, I can think back to his days on First Take with Stephen A. Smith. I don't want to, but I can think back on those days. And he was saying ridiculous things then. I'd say it's been at least 7 or 8 years since he has been full on shock value, like you said, a carny in the way of trying to get people to react, and people somehow still take the bait. Lots of people still take the bait.
We got another Woj bomb. You ready for this? Minnesota has traded the number 11 pick and Dario Saric, am I saying that right, to Phoenix for the number 6 pick in the draft. The number 6 pick is the selection right before the Chicago Bulls. Sources tell ESPN, according to Adrian Wojnarowski.
So who are we going to find out they are targeting?
So Minnesota jumps ahead of Chicago in the draft order.
This is not shaping up to be a good Woj night for the Chicago Bulls, is it?
Minnesota president, the team president tried to get to number 4, number 5, and finally moved up to number 6, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, who followed up one Woj bomb by quote tweeting himself. So Minnesota has eyes on somebody and would have gone as high as 4 to take that somebody, then tried to get 5, and now that the picture is clearer on who's going to be taken four and who's going to be taken five, Minnesota knows that they can still most likely get their man at six. And the Bulls
are toast.
I would be picking up the phone probably.
If can we
I
move were, back, please?
Yep. Hey, can we get in on this, you know, couple picks here in the middle of the first round for number seven? Who wants to do it? Give us a call. Whatever their phone number is. Ours is 319-366-1600. And if you call that right now, you're not going to execute a trade, but you're going to take home $30 to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll be back at Mulligan's next Thursday, a week from today, for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Right now, if you walked through the door at Mulligan's, which is located at 1060 Old Marion Road, you could still enjoy happy hour drink specials for another 40 minutes. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, it's half price wings from 6 until close. So if you're looking for a place to catch the NBA draft, Mulligan's could be that place for you. We'll find out who our sixth caller is when Kyle joins us on the other side of this break. He'll bring you a big board update, and then we will finish up with Woodja and some more draft discussion as we make our way toward the top of the hour and part ways for a Thursday. Again, 1600 AM and 106.3 FM at the top of the hour, getting NBA draft coverage, 107.5 FM, Minnesota Twins baseball. 519, we'll find out who our winner is and get a big board update in before Woodja after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
All of these Woj bombs will tell you that it's going to be a very entertaining NBA draft tonight. This is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. Follow your instincts to Buffalo Wild Wings to get the new All-American Cheeseburger and watch the NBA draft. Two patties of fresh, never-frozen beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges and covered in gooey American cheese. And while you're there, don't forget to grab a beer to wash it down while you enjoy the NBA draft. Get the new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings today, and please drink responsibly.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
The Cubs will soon find out if Adbear Alzolay will end the organization's long-running drought of homegrown pitching prospects. Alzolay, who pitched in the 2016 Midwest League All-Star Game here in Cedar Rapids, has been summoned to the majors from AAA Iowa and will debut tomorrow against the Mets. He'll be available out of the bullpen with Tyler Chatwood making the start in place of an injured Kyle Hendricks. The 24-year-old Venezuelan right-hander was 2-1 with a 3.09 ERA over six starts for the iCubs and is finally healthy after dealing with a lat strain last season. Alzolay has slowly worked his way up the Cubs' chain and has been in the system for seven seasons, breaking out in 2017 when he shined across two levels. Where Alzolay ultimately fits in with the big league team is anyone's guess right now, and his biggest impact this season may come in the bullpen. However, you can bet Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer would love to have a homegrown option to fill a spot in the rotation for years to come.
Welcome to Faradise, or as we like to call it, the Linn County Fair. There might not be palm trees, but the drinks are cold, the treats are tasty, and there's fun for everyone. Come join us in Faradise, June 26th through 30th. Military Appreciation Day is June 30th, provided by USA Communications. To honor and thank our local military, all military personnel, current and past, get into that day's grandstand events free. The final run of the Chuck Wagon races kick off at 1 p.m., sponsored by Green State Credit Union and Kelly Concrete. Then tough trucks get going at 6 p.m. in the grandstand, sponsored by Roto-Rooter. For ticket information, go to thelinncountyfair.com. Come to the Linn County Fair in Central City, just 15 minutes. Minutes north of Marion, Wednesday, June 26th through Sunday, June 30th. Sponsored by SPS Inc., Linn Newsletter, CBS 2, Fox 28, CopyWorks, and MediaCom. Get all the details at thelinncountyfair.com, where great memories are made.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer? All the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck-hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
We're talking about a potential megastar.
This team needs a franchise cornerstone. They need someone they can build around.
The NBA Draft.
Tonight, starting at 6 o'clock here on The Gym. 106.3 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM.
524, welcome back in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until the top of the hour. Does that say Jeff in Cedar Rapids?
Sure does.
Our winner for the $30 gift card to Mulligan's. Congratulations, Jeff. Hope to see you at Mulligan's next Thursday for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. It is 525, so we've got about 35 minutes to go. Who knows what we may be encountering between now and 6 o'clock. Perhaps there could be some draft movement, another trade with somebody deciding to try to leapfrog the other teams that have leapfrogged into the top 10. We will see. Brace yourselves. The Woj bombs are flying. Woja is on the way shortly, but first, Kyle joins us in the studio. He's got a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can find them in Iowa City at their temporary location or on South Gilbert Street at their Answers by Alexander Windows showroom. Here's Kyle.
Former Iowa volleyball coach Bon Chimansky released a statement today shedding some light on his termination, which became official yesterday. As he tells it, a player in the summer of 2017 expected to arrive on full scholarship, but that standing caught a snag and left her in need of rent, for which Chimansky then footed the bill. Tyrese Haliburton was one of six collegiate players to make the final cut for Team USA's Under-19 World Cup team, and I know we touched on this earlier in the week, but Halliburton's going to be getting some serious high-level exposure on this team. It's made up of six of the top five-star prospects still in high school, and all but one of the other collegians were also top prospects last year. If all goes well, he'll be in a position to be drafted next year, but his former teammate Talon Horton Tucker has a chance to be drafted tonight. He's a highly polarizing prospect because of his abnormal physical characteristics, but his skill set has him in the first round conversation, but he could realistically go anywhere from 20 to 40. We'll be off the air at 6 tonight to pick up the draft on the South and Main gyms. It's unlikely but not impossible that a couple other familiar names could be called, but our Twins fans out there can also hear them on the road from Kansas City on the North gym at 7.
Cedar Rapids Colonels opening up the second half of the Midwest League season in Peoria tonight. Colonels will be back home next week. Let's go ahead and get to Woja here at 5:26 on a Thursday. It has to do with the NBA draft, and it actually ties in to how we ended the 4 o'clock hour in giving away an Amazon Echo. Our old pal Brent Bloom at CycloneFanatic.com, he likes to throw some shade in the direction of Iowa and the Big Ten, and a couple days ago on Twitter, he did just that. as he was preparing his draft column for CycloneFanatic.com with a Virginia Tech player likely picked in the first round tonight. Big Ten schools will have four of the six longest NBA draft first-round droughts among Power 5 schools. The longest droughts belong to Northwestern, Penn State, Ole Miss, TCU, Iowa, and Nebraska. Iowa has not had a first-round draft pick, since Ricky Davis in 1998. It's over 20 years ago. Is this a problem for the Iowa basketball program? Would you say this is an issue? 319-366-1600. Does it matter that Iowa hasn't had a first-round draft pick since Ricky Davis back in 1998?
I would say it's the problem right now. I think that a lot of issues with this program and the recruiting stem from the fact that they have not shown the ability to develop the players or bring it, whatever it is, whether it's developing the players into NBA talents or bringing in the talent to develop into an NBA player, they haven't been able to do it. And Fran McCaffrey has been successful at Iowa, whether you say he has or he's been successful. He's had a successful tenure at Iowa, but I think his players have played a combined 70-something games in the NBA, not even a full season. It is a problem. You look at programs like New Mexico State, who have three players in the NBA, and you would think somewhere along the line, you just sort of run into one. Like you'd run into a guy who was maybe a little bit under-recruited, who had one skill set that he was really good at. Like, let's just throw a guy like Pascal Siakam out there from New Mexico State or Kenneth Faried from Morehead State. He's a dominant rebounder. He's really good defensively. He sort of grew into that. He flew under the radar. He wasn't highly recruited, but he had the physical attributes to become dominant. He worked his way into that, but Iowa really hasn't had that either. So I think we especially saw this on the graduate transfer route this offseason. Iowa got their first graduate transfer from Bakari Evelyn from Valparaiso, but missed on a couple of other guys who were not necessarily used as much where they were at, but were trying to get one more showcase year to prove to NBA scouts that they could possibly be a second round pick or play in that league. And they both chose, all three of them chose to go elsewhere. So I think it certainly is something that is used against Iowa on the recruiting trail very, very heavily.
Would you say it's a problem that the Iowa basketball program has gone 20 plus years without a first round draft pick in the NBA draft? 319-366-1600. The Hawkeyes have had players drafted, just not in the first round since Ricky Davis. Nebraska's drought, in case anybody's interested, is the same length of time because the same draft that Ricky Davis went in the first round, Ty Lue was drafted back when Nebraska was still, at that time, a member of the Big 12 Conference. But for the purposes of trolling Iowa and Big 10 fans, Brent correctly views Nebraska as a Big Ten opponent there. The longest, Northwestern and Penn State have never had a first-round draft pick. And then Ole Miss goes back to 1990, TCU 1995, and then Iowa and Nebraska, as I mentioned, respectively, both 1998.
It's a long time.
When you're dealing with today's kids, on the basketball side of things, I think this is much bigger than what Iowa runs into on the football side of things. Football, Iowa can go and say, give us 3-4 years, we'll work you with Chris Doyle, we'll put you in the NFL like we did T.J. Hockenson.
Exactly.
And all of these other prospects. From a basketball standpoint, it seems to me anyway, that it's a lot more difficult for those three-star players to make that leap to the NBA. You've almost got to be a ready-made four- or five-star recruit, and Iowa and most schools are not pulling in those types of players.
To be in the lottery, yes. But to be at the back half of the first round or early in the second round, there are some two-, three-, four-year flyers. And I think that you look at a guy like Tyler Cook, and that's where it gets kind of... I think that's where a lot of fans get wary of the program, because that guy comes in and you're saying, this is an NBA-level base talent. Like, this is a guy who comes in with the attributes to... with the athleticism, with some of the measurables to become an NBA player. And you look at Gonzaga, and they have a couple of guys this year who are going to be taken in, if not the lottery, both of them in the first round, and Rui Hachimura and Brandon Clark, who are almost, they're very similar in the skill set department, the size, the measurables to Tyler Cook. They developed a little while at Gonzaga, two years, I believed, and they became first-round picks, and Tyler Cook never progressed to the point where you thought he was going to. So I think from that, when recruits look at that, that was their big recruit. That was the guy that they brought in, and there was so much hype around, and they're finally getting an NBA-level talent to start, the baseline talent to start with that type of potential. And it never panned out.
7727 on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line says, no, only 32 players get drafted. A third come from overseas. Throw in the one-and-done BS, and it's not a big deal at all. 2834 agrees, not a big deal. Michigan State has like nine since then. Illinois has two or three. And 6717, going back to the discussion with regard to the position that the Bulls find themselves in right now, is
the first round thing. I don't think is necessarily the problem. I think it's just somebody to that's like made an impact in the NBA. If it was a second round pick, a first round pick, it doesn't matter. But a guy, Iowa needs a guy. Maybe it's Joe Wieskamp. It could be Joe Wieskamp that sticks for multiple years and makes an impact
at
that level.
Iowa has not had that since Reggie Evans.
Correct.
Reggie Evans is the last player to come out of the University of Iowa to have a lengthy NBA career. If that puts it in perspective, and the only reason that Reggie Evans had a lengthy NBA career was he was dominant in one statistical
Correct.
Category. He made himself so invaluable to teams that needed a rebounder that he kept going. Still going, by the way, in the Big Three. Still playing basketball.
And that's why I say it's sort of strange that they didn't just run into a guy with that one dominant skill set. I think the NBA more than ever is heading down a direction where role players are really specialized, where you're getting guys that are good at one or two things, and they're being drafted. Some of them are being drafted in the first round. So you think maybe they just stumbled across one time, but in 9 years that has not happened.
I think back to baseball and this explosion of little league parents out there. And I'm not talking about the brawlers in Colorado, but all of these little league parents who are rushing out to buy left-handed mitts and turn their child into the next robotic version of Clayton Kershaw because, well, left-handers, yeah, that's where the money is. They're rarer. I guess the basketball version of that would be teach your kids how to rebound. Teach your kids how to play defense, because that's the rarity. Those are the kids that are going to be scarce in this day and age. That's the one thing you can't really teach. Can you teach what Megan Gustafson does? She has that inherent nose for the ball. Her footwork allows her to be in a position where she knows almost where the ball is going to be before it's even off the rim. You can't teach that. You either have it or you don't. But if you do, you can hang around in the NBA for a really long time. Three-point shooters. You mentioned Joe Wieskamp. If Wieskamp can continue to grow his game and become a marksman, maybe he has an opportunity to be the player that breaks that drought. Again, you're only looking, you got to get a guy on the back end, that final, was it 32nd pick? And then you can say, well, drought's over. What are you going to tweet next about the Iowa basketball program? Which, by the way, I'm 39 years old, and I don't care how many first-round draft picks both programs have. Iowa and Iowa State haven't done jack in my lifetime. Are we handing out participation trophies for the Elite Eight and the Final Four? Neither program has won a national championship. It's just another one of those long, pointy sticks that one side uses to jab at the other one. But he's going to be tweeting the same thing again next year because Iowa's going to go at least one more year without having a player take Ricky Davis. Ricky Davis is the last player taken in the first round. Ricky Davis was a Tom Davis recruit. Steve Alford didn't have one. Todd Licklider didn't have one. Fran McCaffrey hasn't had one, if that puts it in perspective. 5:38, we need to take a quick timeout. Before we go and before I duck on out of here for my father's funeral tomorrow and let these guys take over, I've got to get to what I think is baseball's most ludicrous idea yet, and that's splitting a franchise between not just two cities, but two countries. Back after this.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
Your first-place Minnesota Twins are on display at Target Field.
Ball game over, and the Twins win.
With a new hero every night.
Garver with a home run! Twins take a 2-0 lead!
Whole Bomba Squad ready.
Scope a 3-run homer and an 0-2 count. It's a 10-0 game.
May the force be with the Twins on June 26th as the first 10,000 fans receive a limited edition Star Wars t-shirt. Celebrate your fandom at Target Field by visiting twinsbaseball.com/Star Wars.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living. Because the latest deck from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, it comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. And that's something wood can't promise. Visit the Home Depot to see and feel the new decking color for yourself. Trex Enhanced Naturals in Coastal Bluff.
When you purchase your parts at O'ReillyAuto.com, you can pick it up in-store when it's convenient for you. Your parts, tools, or accessories will be waiting at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup. Shop O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Twins are back on the road, a four-game series, a four-game trip. Twins and the Royals started off Thursday night at 7:15. Hi, this is Corey Provis, Jake Odorizzi for the Twins in Game 1. Hope you join us on your home for Twins baseball.
I'm 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
541, welcome back in as we make our way toward the top of the hour. This will be it for us on a Thursday here on KGYM 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. We'll go to the NBA draft at 6 o'clock, and Minnesota Twins baseball is on tap for those North Gym listeners on 107.5 FM. It looks like now the top five selections of the NBA draft have pretty much solidified at this point. Is there a Woj bomb detonating as I say that?
I wouldn't say a Woj bomb, but okay. I don't know what to call this. Cleveland GM Kobe Altman is still entertaining offers for the number five pick, according to league sources.
Okay. So Zion Williamson will go number one overall to New Orleans. Ja Morant goes two to Memphis. I still think New York takes R.J. Barrett at three. DeAndre Hunter is the likely target for the Hawks at four. And then Darius Garland to Cleveland at five if they make that pick.
That's what other reports say, that if they stay at five, Darius Garland will be the guy.
Now, Kyle said there's a little scuttlebutt that the Bulls may try to leapfrog Minnesota and get that number five pick if Cleveland is indeed answering the telephone right now, which they should be. Any good GM should be entertaining offers.
I would absolutely consider doing that to go up to get Darius Garland.
If you're the Bulls, your best case scenario tonight was that DeAndre Hunter or Darius Garland fell to you at seven, and it looks right now like neither one of those was going to even be close to coming to fruition. So now you got to go up to five and get Garland if you want him.
And then if you don't go up to five, you wonder, will Kobe White be there at seven? Because I think that if they can get Garland or White, they come out of this feeling okay. Where they have a lead guard to go with Zach LaVine and his scoring prowess. But if they get a guy like Jarrett Culver, who's kind of a slasher and not a ready-made shooter, then you're sort of looking at the lineup next year and thinking, okay, this is going to be another terrible, terrible year. So I understand why you say take the best overall player, but at some point your roster needs to make a little bit of sense, and that's where the Bulls are at right now.
6717 on the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line says he's good with Kobe White if he's still there. And if he is there, then you will hear John Paxson and Gar Foreman say that Kobe White was the guy they wanted
all along.
Just like all these coaching hires when it comes down to the ninth choice. This is the guy that we wanted all along. Don't believe what was out there about the other eight people who turned us down. He's the guy that we wanted.
I don't know if it's something I ate for lunch or whatever, but I have this weird feeling that the Bulls are going to pull another Bulls move. They're going to stay at seven, and they're going to take somebody like Wendell Carter Jr. last year when Colin Sexton, the future point guard, a point guard of the future, was sitting there.
Let's take a break from the NBA momentarily as we await the next Woj bomb to drop. I do want to address what I think is perhaps the most ludicrous thing that Major League Baseball could possibly entertain doing at this point. Jeff Passan earlier today reported that Tampa Bay has received MLB's permission to explore becoming not only a multi-city franchise, but a multinational franchise. That Tampa Bay is exploring a deal where the Rays would play the early portion of the season in Tampa, and the back half of the schedule, when it's warmer and nicer out, in Montreal. This is the dumbest thing that I have seen Major League Baseball even think of implementing in quite some time, and for a number of reasons. But there's no way that you could get a free agent to sign up for this, in my opinion. There's no way. So you would be relegating this franchise to, as Tampa Bay has tried to now for the last several years, drafting and developing and signing their own young talent, and then trying to squeeze into a window where these guys are there before they wind up hitting free agency or traded elsewhere. This is a tax nightmare. You get taxed on where you work. So you got to have a pretty good accountant if you're a professional athlete anyway. But try explaining this one to your wife or your girlfriend or your family. Well, we've got to have a home in the Tampa area, but we also have to have a home in the Montreal area, and we've got to have a tax guy in the United States, and we've got to have a tax guy who knows Canadian tax law, and you get paid half of the time in U.S. dollars and half of the time in Canadian dollars.
What's the exchange rate on that?
Okay. Here are a couple things that I can tell you for certain. Montreal is going to get its own franchise at some point in the near future. And this is either the Tampa Bay ownership playing footsie with the city of Montreal to explore a permanent move there, which Tampa Bay draws nobody to Tropicana Field. Tropicana Field was old and antiquated when they first landed the Rays in the late 90s. It was built in the early 90s to try to lure the San Francisco Giants and the Chicago White Sox to Tampa. When both of those failed, Tampa ultimately wound up getting an expansion franchise, the Rays, then the Devil Rays. So you have fans of baseball in Florida, but not fans of the Rays. You've got Yankees fans and Red Sox fans, Cubs fans, Cardinals fans, all these old people who go and winter down in Florida or retire there. But there's no fan base for this team. So they don't draw anybody. And you think they're going to draw well when they're playing half their games elsewhere? If you got to be really, really, really obtuse if you're a fan of the Tampa Bay Rays not to realize what this is. That if you continue to support the ownership of that organization, you're essentially showing up to help fill the moving truck.
Is that what they're trying to do, though? Does this feel like...
Baseball would have you believe that this is a trial run to put a new expansion franchise in Montreal, that they're giving Montreal baseball fans another opportunity to prove that they can support a team. To me, this reeks of, hey, if the support is better there in Montreal than it is in Tampa, the team's eventually going to play 100% of its home games in Montreal. Abandon Tampa, abandon Florida altogether. Miami, the Marlins are awful. They don't draw anybody. Baseball in Florida was just a really, really bad idea. I never thought
It has not worked at all.
I never thought I would see a day where hockey in Florida seemingly plays better than
it does.
Baseball. Baseball's
in
a tough
markets.
So Florida in the summer is a swampy hellhole as opposed to Florida in the winter when it's just a hellhole. Nobody wants to sit outside and deal with insufferable heat and humidity watching a game for 4 hours. It's not a good mix. Nobody's going to want to play for the Tampa Bay / Montreal. This isn't like the old NBA days with the Kansas City Omaha Kings. At least Kansas City and Omaha were sort of in the same region of the country. This is two different countries. This is Florida. And I know Scott, I think, pointed out on the gym class earlier today that there's no direct flight between Tampa and Montreal. That's not going to matter for the team. They'll fly charter, but it's going to matter for loved ones who want to fly, unless there's spots for everybody on the charter, or fans that would want to make their way from Tampa to follow the team. Would that be following them on the road? If you were a fan of the Tampa Bay Montreal Rays and they were playing a game in Montreal against, say, the Cardinals, would that be following the team on the road?
No, they're at home.
No, they're at home. Just hundreds of miles away from home.
I just don't understand the upside of this. I really don't get it. Why don't you just say that you want to move your team to Montreal, or you want to stay in Tampa? It's one or the other. This is very simple. And to do this, it's way to sort of go half in, half out. That doesn't work.
And baseball doesn't need more teams right now, which baseball thinks it does, because just like Jim Delaney expanding the Big Ten, you go from 12 to 14, all of a sudden the TV dollars are going to multiply. Baseball thinks more teams, more revenue, which is sort of true. The problem is, look at the level of competition right now. You have guys in the majors who 2 decades ago would have never made it out of Double A, most likely, because there were the Marlins and the Rockies didn't exist until 1993. And then the Diamondbacks and the Rays came along. So you've got 4 new teams, relatively speaking, plenty of jobs that spread, especially pitching thin. And you're already talking about pace of play. Well, what impacts pace of play? How about scoring a ton of runs or having guys who can't throw strikes? This is, you're going to wind up with a team in Montreal. You're going to wind up with a team in Portland or Las Vegas. They're going to expand, and it's going to make the product even weaker. And this is the trial balloon here, because I don't think they want to relocate Tampa Bay to Montreal. I think they want to relocate Tampa Bay permanently to Tampa Bay, and Montreal would get an expansion franchise. And then,
is this also a way to say Tampa Bay, build us a new stadium or else?
Well, you do have the extortion aspect of this, which Major League Baseball and quite frankly, all professional sports leagues and team owners are very good at. We saw it with Jeffrey Loria in the same state, where he bilked the taxpayers in Miami into building this monstrosity of a ballpark, and then he tore down the team to the studs, literally and figuratively, because all that was left was Christian Yelich, Giancarlo Stanton, and just enough for Derek Jeter and an ownership group that he cobbled together to see the prospects of buying the team and then truly tearing down to nothing. Loria got that brand new ballpark. He makes off like a bandit. Taxpayers are on the hook. And now you want to see the same thing happen to Tampa. You don't necessarily want to see it, but you realize it's going to happen. That ballpark, by the way, I've never been inside, but I have been there. It's not great.
Is it the worst ballpark in Major League Baseball?
Well,
Oakland's really bad.
Hawk Harrelson would say it's Wrigley Field, and he may not be all that far behind because Wrigley Field is ancient. But from the standpoint of the environment, you have to, I think I've always been a fan of, you have to have baseball in a great environment. The Minnesota Twins, when they played their game at the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome in the Twin Cities, that was not a good environment for baseball. It was awful. And you were very antiseptic. And luckily now they have Target Field. And
it's one of the nicest ballparks I've ever been to.
That's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Target Field and Coors Field in Denver are near the top of my list. I don't know. Build a new ballpark, and what's the best thing that can happen in Tampa? They start drawing 12,000 fans a game?
Well, that's the problem. You mentioned what they did in Miami. They built a new ballpark. They brought in a bunch of high-priced free agents. Things didn't go well. They had a fire sale on the high-priced free agents by, what, mid-July? Early July? And now they're back to drawing nothing in Miami. Even when they were somewhat respectable with the outfield of Giancarlo Stanton, Ozuna, and Christian Yelich, they still weren't drawing anybody. So I think you have to look at the fanfare that the Miami Marlins got and wonder, what is building a new stadium in Tampa going to actually do for us?
According to Jeff Passan, this is basically the last effort of keeping baseball in Tampa. That if they can get a new stadium in Tampa, they feel that the team can put down permanent roots there and not have to worry about relocating. If they've got to continue playing their games at Tropicana Field, then chances are they'll wind up losing the franchise altogether. Not playing 50% of their games in Montreal, but just losing the franchise altogether. It's not an ideal situation, but I also don't see how Major League Baseball makes this work. Because how would you like to sign up for that for your working conditions, where you'd have your family splitting time between, and I understand people do that in the regular world to some extent, but you're going to be splitting your season not between just 2 cities, 2 states, but 2 countries.
On top of the travel that you already have to do
exactly
During the course of a Major League Baseball season.
This is, by the way, not in the works. 2021, I think, would be the earliest that this would possibly come into play. It bears watching, but I think this is one of the dumbest things that Major League Baseball has ever talked about. And the fact that it has gotten to this point where Tampa has permission to explore this tells you everything about how baseball is going to handle this. 319-366-1600. We have about a minute remaining. Just a reminder, I will be once again gone tomorrow, the up until this point hardest day of my life. And Kyle will be here with Alex tomorrow. You'll have another opportunity to take home an Amazon Echo. It is Friday. I don't know what you guys are going to do. You guys will be breaking down the NBA draft, which is about to get underway on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. Jack Dom, who has been tremendously helpful to me over the last 24 hours or so with plenty of advice for tomorrow, will be here as well in touching all the bases. And I wish you luck and Godspeed, and I will be back on Monday, and the new normal continues to get just a tiny bit more normal with each passing day. I'll talk to you then.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns,